Good morning, podcast listeners. You are listening to episode 12 of the Yarnings Podcast, and I'm Christine. I'll be your host. Since we talked last time, I went to Madrona, so I have all sorts of fun things to tell you about. And I'm calling this episode Netflixy, where I go over some interesting Netflix apps for your iPhone. So stay tuned. Here we go.
It's a knit-along.
First, we must talk a little bit about the Ren-along, the Ren knit-along that we've had on the Yarnings Podcast group in Ravelry. There have been many finished products showing up recently, and I'm so excited. Today, February 28th, is the last day of the contest. Entries are open until midnight. I guess that's 11:59 tonight, Pacific time. And tomorrow, I'll do a special little recording talking about who the winner is. But let's chat a little bit about finishing. We talked some last time about the finishing as far as how to stretch your yarn to make it last the best you can. But this time, let's talk about the optional crochet trim, because I know crochet is not something that every knitter knows. I tried crocheting up edging for the first time on a purple sweater I made last summer, maybe. It's a modification on the Pioneer sweater. I turned it into more of a tunic and lined the edges with crochet. And this gave such a nice finishing look. And I really didn't know what I was doing. I just started sticking my crochet hook into the stitches and pulling loops through until I got something that I liked. And it took me many times of ripping and trying until I refined something that I liked enough to keep. So I kind of did the same thing with the Ren shawl. I knew the edges weren't okay, but I thought they might be even better if I put some crochet on it. And I had enough yarn left that I thought that might be a good use for the rest of it, instead of having a little pile left over after each one I made. So I did just a very small shell border around the bottoms and then up each side to give the sides a finished look. And I really like how that looks, because once you block it, it gives it a nice chain. And like I said, you really don't need it, but it just gives that extra little delicate edge. So even if you didn't have the yarn or the time to try it out on the Ren shawl, I encourage you to play with a little bit of crochet just to see what it can do for your projects. You might be pleasantly surprised. Let's see, is there anything else about the Ren that I wanted to talk to you about before we're done? I'm just so excited to be seeing people who really weren't sure about it when they had to cast on 410 stitches, but stuck it out and did what they needed to do to make it work for the yarn they had and have a wonderful finished project.
A knitting gathering, count me in.
Every time I go to another fiber festival, I love the idea of them even more. And that is certainly the case with Madrona. Madrona Fiber Arts Festival is held in Tacoma every year in the springtime, late winter, and this was my first time going. I had the opportunity to go because a friend, Rachel from the Knit Sense podcast, said that she would host me if I wanted to take the train up. So how could I pass that up to get to see my friends and go to a fiber festival? It was just meant to be. So I spent a lot of time beforehand trying to figure out what I was going to bring, what I was going to knit, what I was going to wear. And then it was the weekend before and a landslide happened on the Amtrak tracks. And they closed down the tracks between here and Seattle for a few days, and that had me pretty freaked out. And calling Amtrak was so not helpful. I talked to three different ladies at three different times, and they all were very far gone. Like, totally didn't have any clue. It sounded like I was calling their houses from the background noises I was getting. It was absolutely bizarre. So that didn't really help my worries. But luckily, the train started again Wednesday night, and I went first thing Thursday morning on the train. So Rachel picked me up from the train, and then we went to the festival and hung out. Got to see the marketplace, went around the hotel a little bit, and just as we were getting ready to go to lunch, Melanie from Black Trillium found me, and I was so excited to see her. She was the person that I have never met, and I was most looking forward to meeting, and her little cute boy was with her. And we got to chat for just a few minutes, and then it was lunchtime. We were headed out as we saw her. And so I felt so bad that I didn't get a chance to talk to her more. But we figured we'd see each other because it was only Thursday, and then it just never worked out. I will definitely have to meet her again at another Fiber Festival, and we will have to plan a time to sit down and chat because she is just so neat. I love the way she colors her yarn. let's see. So we went to Amy and Rachel and me went to lunch, and then we came back for Amy's class, and Rachel and I sat down with our pile of loot that we had found so far and knit and spun. And she gave me some great tips about spinning and some tips for what I should be looking for in a new spindle. That was excellent. And then that evening, we met up with Chrissy from the Manic Pearl podcast and went to a comedy show, which was not so great. Friday morning, we had delicious breakfast in downtown Olympia. After some more classes for Amy, we had great lunch in the hotel bar and met up with Yarrow, who went with us that morning, Amanda, Erin of the Anatomy of Knitting, and Kate, who's Kate8 with the number 8 in her Twitter. And she took us to a cupcake store that was quite a few blocks away, and we walked really quickly. So that was a bit of an adventure, but yum, cupcakes. How can you pass that up? And then I went back to the marketplace later on and bought a Knitty Naughty and a Turkish spindle. It's a Jenkins, I think it's a Turkish Delight, and it is bloodwood is the color on it. It is a very small little cute one that folds up because all the Turkish spindles fold up. And so when you wind your yarn around it, it turns into a center pole ball at the end. So I was really happy about my decision to get that, and I got again some more tips from Rachel on how that worked. So we all sat and knit and spun and worked on all our projects and giggled and laughed, and it was delightful. So after all that, we went back home and had some soup and then ended out the day at Skeppenskaane, which is a really interesting bar in Olympia where one owner really likes brewing beer and the other owner really likes yarn. And so it's a kind of a yarn friendly place. So I got to meet a few other of Rachel's friends and just spent some time hanging out there. That was fun. And then Saturday came with all of its busyness because both of my classes were there, was that day. I had two classes. One in the morning was from Sivia Harding, who is the bead goddess. I have found that many beading projects out there that I have loved are her. She designed them. She does just such beautiful work. So I have done very, very little beading. I did one scarf with dropped beading edge. So I wanted to really learn what the different techniques are. And she totally fulfilled exactly what I wanted to know. She had a wonderful handout that gave us more information about the different ways that beads went. Really cool. And I can't wait to play with some more of it so I can share some more specifics with you guys. And then in the afternoon, I took a class with Abbott Smith. It was a color class, and it went through a lot of theory and a lot of things that I had learned from the web design side of color. So it was good. The teacher was really nice, but it didn't really answer the questions that I had about adding color to my projects. I think I am probably a more colorful person than anybody else in the class already. Just the fact that I had a big red pink streak in my hair and was wearing bright colors already kind of set me apart from the other attendees in that class, at least. That class, it was a definite a specific crowd. So yeah, I'm not done by any means learning about color, but that class wasn't exactly what I anticipated it being. I'm sure it was great for other people. And directly after classes was our podcaster meetup. And all of the friends on the podcast that I listened to had been pumping this. And so we had a whole group. So it was Rachel and Amy and me and Chrissy and Cheryl Bell the Ball. And unfortunately, Erin of Anatomy of Knitting didn't make it because she got sick. And then some friends of the podcast, including Amanda, who was casting on her first sweater. And we got ourselves all set up on a table right outside the marketplace with all our buttons and candy, and I had stickers. And we just stood there chatting with each other and kind of smiling at people that walked by. And we had a fan that showed up to support us. And I think we may have converted a few other people that had been walking by. So it really was a good reason for all of us to be together because we all enjoy each other's podcasts. And I hope that in future events that maybe more people will show up, but that's okay. We had a great time. And I think the fact that a lot of people were had to choose between Madrona and Stitches in California may have divided the audience a little bit. But yeah, it was still really fun. And then we get to the part where we turned off our phones and just relaxed at the spa. It was a very delightful, decadent evening of relaxing. Oh, just wonderful. It was really a wonderful idea, and I think that is the perfect end for any long day of learning and socializing, and it was great. So then we just relax at home the next day. Rachel made me an omelet with fresh eggs from her chickens, which I thought was awesome. We did a little bit of knitting TV watching on the couch and made a quick stop at Shipwreck Beads. Because I had a project in mind already, and it is humongo, so I definitely want to go back there. And then I was off on the train again going home. And the train was pretty full, but I lucked out and I got to sit next to a girl that was also coming home from Madrona. She's Sissy Squirrel on Ravelry, and we had some wonderful talks. It really made the time go just zip right past, and it made me go from being frazzled at the ticket counter, where there were deaf people that couldn't hear or understand what I was saying when I couldn't check in. I went from being frazzled from that to calming down and sitting back into my knitting, and it was a really nice way to finish off the weekend. So that's my Madrona adventure. I can't wait to go to the next thing. I have several things on my calendars that I want to make it to, and we'll see how many of those pan out. I know I'll be going to Sauk Summit. I'm pretty sure I'll be going to the Columbia Gorge Fiber Festival in April. It would be super cool to get to go to Black Sheep in Eugene. And I will go for at least some of Oregon Flock and Fiber in Canby. So, as we get closer to all those events, I'll let you know so that we can possibly meet up. That would be delightful.
What are you yarning today?
Most of my yarnings since we last chatted were picked specifically for social knitting. I knew I needed some things that I could do without looking a whole lot. So, on the train on the way up, I cast on the Batiko shawl by Lee Meredith. She's lethal on Twitter. I will link to her pattern in the show notes. It had a really interesting construction, and so that made me pretty excited to cast on for it. And I had some worsted weight yarn, which I don't usually get a stash of, but at Sock Summit, this was on a high discount from Yarn Love, and I remembered about it when my friend Rina sent me a skein of Three Irish Girls that matched really nicely with it. So I thought I'd do some striping between those two and cast on and got going. So that moved along quite a bit while I was there. I also cast on some socks in the same yarn. I'm doing the sweetheart socks from the most recent Knitty, and I'm calling them the Sweet Maidens because the yarn color name is Maiden. And so both of those projects moved along as I went. I also worked on more potholders. I'm halfway through with the last one of the set of five that I'm doing for my mother-in-law. And once I was back from Moderna, I cast on again. I had a few failed starts that didn't turn out quite well. I cast on for a feather and fan scarf for my mother-in-law also, out of Moki Plus, which she bought for me in California to make her scarf. And it's a beautiful colorway. And the Moki yarns, whether it's Mini Moki or Moki Plus, they have beautiful color transitions. So you kind of float from one to the other, and a feather and fan pattern really showcases the pretty transitions. So that needs to be blocked, and I need to finish the last potholder, and then that whole set of things will be on their way. I also got a chance to do some spinning. I spun on my big spindle, my Shat Hilo. It's knitted wit and it's a merino tencel blend. And I was just having a really hard time with keeping it even. And I want to get it thinner than it's allowing me to do with this weight of spindle. So that's what I worked on to show Rachel how I was doing so that then we could figure out what I needed in a smaller spindle. So I made it through a nice pile of that, and I'll keep going on that. I'm not sure what that will want to be yet, but it is very pretty, and I'll probably ply it with something smaller so that it doesn't double itself up, just to make it a little more sturdy. And then I worked on some Blarney yarn that I got in California from Colors 91711 in Claremont, California. That's what I started spinning on my Turkish spindle when I pulled it out of its package. And that is very nice. It's BFL and Tusa silk. I don't remember the content amounts. But it's very nice. It's spinning nice and fine with my little spindle, and I'm getting confident enough with it that I brought it to the library last week even and was spinning there. And so that makes me feel really good that I'm getting good enough that I can do it and still talk and do nice long portions of it before I have to wind it back up. And I'm getting even more familiar with winding it back onto the spindle and winding it onto my hand between that. And if you could see me, I'm doing all these hand motions. I know that doesn't help, but I do them anyhow. If you could see me, you'd also notice I am in my jammies and my hair's all messed up from sleeping on it. So I guess it's a good thing this isn't a video podcast, or I'd have a harder time finding a chance to do it. I did also add to my stash while I was at Madrena, but I did it in a very small, sane way. I got a skein of goth socks from Rainy Day's Woolly Dogs. This is superwash merino sock yarn, and the colorway is Poisoned Apple, and it's got a greeny black with red and orange, and it's really cool, and I'm really hoping for some great striping out of this. I've followed goth socks since I heard about them at Sock Summit, and they never have any on their site. They sell out that fast, and sure enough, that happened at Madrona too. They had almost sold out by the time I got to the marketplace at noon on Thursday, when it had only been open for 4 hours. So I was really pleased that I got a skein. I didn't specifically need another skein of sock yarn, so I just kept it to that one. But I did also buy some fiber from Abstract Fiber, who I went and visited after Oregon Flock and Fiber, at the home where they dye it all. And so I'd been wanting to support them, that they're local, and that just makes me happy to support local. And so I got 2 4-ounce things of fiber. It's BFL silk, and one of them is a pink and black with a green in it, and the other one is a pink and black with a little purple in it. They are glorious and they match my hair. I love that. You could hold it up to my head and it's the right color. So I'm quite excited about this, and I'm hoping that by the time I'm done with the Blarney yarn that I'm spinning, that my spinning will be that much finer. And I'll have some really great yarn to make something special for me, whether it's a tank or a little cardigan mixed in with some extra other yarn or something. I haven't quite figured it out yet, but it's definitely going to be something exciting for me. And I'm really pleased to get to support Abstract Fiber. So this will not be my last purchase for them, I'm sure, because they do some awesome stuff.
What's been cooking in Christine's kitchen?
When I got back from Madrona, I may have been a little cupcake obsessed. We had some cupcakes at Red Robin when I got home, and they were just little normal, not really that wonderful, but they were okay. And I'd been watching a bunch of cupcake wars getting caught back up with where we are in the season. And so then I made some cupcakes. I did just a box cake, and then I made a buttercream with some almond extract in it. And that was really good. It really gave it an extra special touch. So of course, having a whole batch of cupcakes around the house, and I couldn't seem to find anybody to share them with locally. So we just kind of ate on them throughout the week. But all it did for me was it made me want to try other varieties of cupcakes. Yeah, that's not a great idea for my healthy eating plan, but sure was yummy, and hopefully I can come up with a nice treat for this next week that's not quite so bad for me. One thing that I made this week that did turn out really good was apple grilled cheese. And back a few years ago, we found a recipe in one of the Taste of Home magazines. I don't remember if it was Cooking for Two or Simple and Delicious or which one it was. I'll try and find the link and put it in the show notes. It was for these grilled cheese with apples and walnuts and honey and cream cheese and powdered sugar. It sounded delicious and I had to try it. So I did, and it ended up being delicious. So this was the more simplified version, where we had a lot of extra Tillamook cheddar. We got a really good deal on a big block. I think they call them the baby block. And so we had a bunch of that left over, and I grabbed a few Granny Smith apples, fried them up in some butter, and put those on top of the cheese, and then fried them up like a regular grilled cheese. And that was just really, really good. It was easy, it was fairly healthy, got some extra fruit, and we served it with some pastoroni to give it a little extra, and it was really a nice meal. So if you're craving grilled cheese and you like the little extra taste that an apple would give to it, you should try that out. I also made a dish with some gnocchi. And for the most part, we just kept it kind of simple last week because I needed that recovery time after Madrona. This coming week, I am still working on the grocery list for, so hopefully I'll come up with some thrilling and excited things to share with you that aren't cupcakes.
Just what is a crafty biz?
I've been working quite a bit on KDLB this last week. I had a lot of milestones that said before Madrona, after Madrona on my calendar, and more things were moving to after Madrona as I got busy. And so I'm still continuing a series of classes from Tara Swiger on marketing, and that's helping me do some refresh of my site. I sold a few more Wren patterns thanks to Madrona help. Me wearing it and my friends knitting on them as we were there gave me some good publicity. So that is so happy. I've done a couple photo shoots in the last week. I have a couple secret projects that are going on in the background, which is always fun. You gotta have a little secret photo shoot here and there. That will come and be shared in the future. And I'm getting ready to apply to another show, so you can all cross your fingers on that for me. And if you haven't had a chance to do it, you're welcome to check out kdlb.etsy.com, which is my shop, and that's KDYELLEBEE. And that's all of my current products that are available. And my next big project, of course, is taxes. There's a big pile of papers here, and most of it's all in the computer, but I need to go through it all and get that done for the year. That is definitely a challenge of having a crafty biz.
Here I go, geeking out again.
So here's the reason why the episode is called Netflixy. I have thought a lot lately about Netflix, and so I thought I'd share some of the notes that I jotted down. We've been members of Netflix for many years now, and it is certainly been a great way for us to see those movies that we missed, get some new TV shows that we saw or didn't see, and keep up on current movies that we might not have seen otherwise. There was quite a portion of time where, when I was sick, where we didn't watch anything, just what was on TV. And I've realized how much I missed movies once we started Netflix. So, what do you use Netflix for? For me, I use it on the TiVo in our office for watching movies and TV. We now are doing InstaWatch, and then we get the discs. So on a normal week, we'll get about two Netflix discs, and then we'll watch usually something a couple times throughout the week on InstaWatch. The InstaWatch comes directly into the TiVo. My TiVo from my last birthday has that option now. So, when I'm out and about, I use Netflix on my phone. There are lots of apps out there for different platforms. I have an iPhone, so I'm going to talk about that. But when we're sitting and chatting at dinner, sometimes we'll say, "Oh, hey, is such and such out on Netflix?" And I'll pull it up in one of my apps and see if it's there. I have four apps that handle Netflix. What I really need it for is either rearranging my queue, adding to my queue, or rating what I've watched. So four apps. I have PhoneFlix, Now Playing, ITV, and Flixster. And two of those have a greater other things where you can search for movies in general, DVDs in general, movie showtimes, and that's ITV and Flixster. PhoneFlix and Now Playing are specific to Netflix. They all have their advantages and disadvantages. I find myself getting into PhoneFlix more often, but it is definitely the most basic, and the search is a little funky. Now Playing, updating gets really slow when you're in it. But if you're wanting to search your ad, you really want to use one that's more specific to Netflix, like PhoneFlix or Now Playing. And then, of course, there's a fifth app that is on my phone that is Netflix related, and that is Netflix app itself. You can actually watch shows on your phone. And I haven't found that to be super necessary with the iPhone because it is so small. And a lot of the things that I watch on Netflix, I watch with Eric. And so we'll sit at the couch. But we have used it when we've been out and about. We were hoping to use it to watch Die Hard on Christmas Day while we were at the airport, but then we both were feeling so crappy. We didn't get around to that. But I think that in the future I could use that a little more, 'cause that's a fun option. It's nice to have one more place where I can watch Netflix. It'd be great for a web series for sure. Something that is made for a smaller format, like The Guild. We watched that on Instant Watch, but I could totally see watching that on my phone. That would be fun. So, those are my tools I use for Netflix. I specifically love when I'm browsing through Best Buy and I see a movie that I don't know if it's on my queue. I pop it up right there, add it or double check or whatever, and that's how my queue grows. So I would love to hear how Netflix or whatever tool you use for watching movies works in your life. So you can comment in our thread on the Ravelry forum.
Have you giggled today?
A few extra random things for your listening enjoyment. I'm such a nerd that I made a clothing plan for Madrona, and I did it in a spreadsheet in a grid format, so I knew exactly what pieces were going with which days and what jewelry matched with them. And I know that's super geeky, but it made me feel so much better that I wasn't forgetting something. So I think that's always going to be the plan. I don't care if it makes Eric giggle. That's just how it needs to be. And I spent some time looking for some new nail polish. I'm looking for the Glee nail polish, specifically the green Gleek Out, and I really like the silvery one as well that is Mashup. But there are no real Sephoras around here, really close. Just JCPenney Sephoras, which neither of the two in Vancouver carry them. So I'm going to have to look a little further if I want them or pay the shipping, which I hate to do, but they're so pretty. And these are OPI nail polishes, so they probably don't go on sale very often anyhow. So I will keep looking, because that will make me smile a whole bunch if my nails are Glee colors. Obviously, I have become a fan.
Next time on the Yearnings Podcast.
Looking forward to drawing the winner of the Renalong. I'll do that in a special little episode coming up on March 1st after the contest is over tonight. I'm also looking forward to the Portland Yarn Crawl. This will be the second year that me and my friends Leslie, Eileen, and Jennifer will go and set out to support the Portland Yarn Stores. That's coming up this coming weekend, and I will make sure and share some info about how that goes. And I'm sure that there will be some more kitchen adventures and hopefully some finishing of some more knitting projects. So, until next time, You can find all of the Yarnings Podcast goodness on yarningspodcast.com. There's a link in the sidebar to add this podcast to your iTunes and to the Ravelry group. And if you'd like to follow me around during the day, I'm on Twitter as KDLB, just the letters. And I'm on Ravelry as Christine, with a K. And until next time, that's the story.